Son, Son's shot, 2-1 Tottenham. It's come on, Llorente, it's gone in. The advantage swings back to Spurs. Sterling! My goodness, as if there couldn't be any more drama. Oh, that's remarkable. The goal's chalked out.
Henderson and the goal for Origi. It's in, it's incredible. It's Wijnaldum.
Take it quickly.
Oh, wonderful thinking, Origi. Brilliant, and they do lead now. It's done. Liverpool have pulled it out of the fire. Lucas Moura's running in now. Lucas Moura's
done it again. Incredible.
Comes to Dele Alli, through to Lucas Moura.
Lucas Moura has fired Spurs through to the Champions League final.
Offside with Andrew Gunling and JJ Devaney.
Oh, yes. Caught offside from the Upper West Side of Manhattan. Andrew Gunling and JJ Devaney, the Champions League final preview edition. What's up, brother?
Oh, man, am I nervous, excited. All the feelings.
Seriously.
Today.
All of them.
Today, I watched so much Liverpool related content. I got emotional. I started thinking about my father back in Ireland watching it, feeling guilty that I'm here. I started seeing movies and videos of people in Madrid, fans already singing in Madrid. That got me absolutely hyped. I felt guilty thinking I should be there. I started thinking about the way I felt straight after Kiev and thinking this mightn't come round again. There may be no shot at redemption. And now, a year later, we're back. And for the first time in the history of that storied club, Tottenham Hotspur are in a Champions League European Cup final.
And, you know, I think that's the thing that I've been trying to wrap my head around, because we're obviously coming at this from completely polar opposite perspectives. You know, the thing that I keep thinking about is the history of the moment that Tottenham are in. It's a club that's been around since 1882. You know, like you say, they are a storied club with a great history. But they're now... they've now reached a level that they haven't reached before, and one that a lot of Spurs fans probably never really, honestly, if you caught a Tottenham fan in an honest moment, there's a lot of Spurs fans that never would have thought this would be a thing that could happen. So, like, as a Spurs fan right now, I think you're watching this and you're like, the realization is hitting you that you are now in history. Like, these are moments, the Lucas Moura goals, the offside goal for Raheem Sterling against Manchester City, like every one of these moments that you are witnessing, these are the moments that you will tell your children about, your grandchildren about, whatever goal or whatever it is that's about to happen on Saturday in the Champions League final. Like when Tottenham scores, if they score a goal in that game, like that could become the new biggest goal in the history of the club. Like, this is living history right now for this club, and that's a wild thing to like be conscious of that you're witnessing right now.
And far be it for me to tell Spurs fans how to feel, but you are playing with house money somewhat. This is an amazing place that Spurs fans, when Alan Sugar owned the club, when Ozzy Ardiles was manager, the club was in relegation battles. It had to draft in Germans in the form of Jurgen Klinsmann in the mid-90s to keep the show on the road. It was often, even when things got better under Harry Redknapp, they went very, very... it was boom-bust. They went very bad under Sherwood, people like that. They had Juan de Ramos come in. Like, this is a place that Spurs fans didn't think they'd be in. I doubt they thought they'd be here so quickly.
I remember the feeling of when Redknapp not just got them into the Champions League, but when they, you know, when they qualified out of the group and when they beat AC Milan in the round of 16, it felt like that moment was a pinnacle.
Yeah.
You know, they lost to Real Madrid in the quarterfinals and no one really batted an eye. It was, well, you know, this was an amazing run. And, you know, yet to see them now at this level, it's hard to comprehend.
Like, to go back to what I was saying, you didn't think it would come so quickly under Maurizio Pochettino. Let's be honest, he was the Southampton manager with a very fresh and very young CV that had a lot of space to be filled in. And now, in a short period of time, you are where you are. And Spurs fans, just drink it in. It's absolutely unbelievable. And I'm not being patronising.
No, I'm not taking it that way.
I've seen four I was too small for 84. I was 2 years of age. I've seen four European, not including 2001 and the UEFA Cup final, not including, you know, the Europa League final in 2016, but I've seen all these finals with Liverpool. Spurs don't get to eat at this table very regularly.
Yeah, it's amazing, especially when you go back in your head to what people were saying after the summer, when they didn't make any moves. They were a punchline. And they're in the Champions League final without having done that.
The only loss from this season is the loss of that cheese room. We'll never have that cheese room.
I wish we did. I love cheese. Oh, man. This is going to be an unbelievable podcast. This is one of those podcasts where I can't even believe this is a thing that we get to do for a living. Like, how fortunate we are to even be able to do this right now because of how much fun this is going to be. We are going to break down this game like you wouldn't believe. We've got really our five major questions coming into the Champions League final that we'll go into in great detail. We've got our dream scenarios for how this could potentially play out in a perfect reality for us. A Champions League special mailbag. We've got our predictions at the end. It should be a really, really enjoyable podcast. And I have slipped in a 5 stars, 5 years review.
Oh, very nice. Save that.
That'll come at the end.
Little bit of joy.
I think that people will all really like it.
Okay.
So stick with us for that. And of course, as we've been saying throughout the week, we want to remind you once again, soccer fans unite, Liverpool fans, Tottenham fans, everyone unite at the Harry Lemon on Avenue B between 2nd and 3rd Streets in Manhattan. We're going to be there this Saturday. What time are you getting there? The game's at 3. I was planning on trying to get there by like 1.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
We're going to secure our seats.
We're going to hang out.
Come over. Mm-hmm. We'll have a drink with you. And we're just going to have a good old time. And when the whistle blows, you will need to shut up. Because it's going to get tense.
I've started seeing the tweets from people that say they want to come. I saw you sent me the one from the Tottenham fans that say they're going to be there.
What about this from Snick Tunes? Who's flying in from Madison, Wisconsin?
Oh my God!
To come watch the game.
Wait, like he's flying in from Madison to watch with us, or is he going to already be in New York?
That's what he said on the Instagrams. Oh, he's flying in from Madison, Wisconsin, to come watch the game with you guys.
Unbelievable.
And straight away, you turn into my mother when visitors are coming. Oh my God, there's nothing ready. Oh my
well,
mother's
I
American
can't
now.
Fulfill his expectations.
No, like, he's literally this guy is flying the guts of 1,000 miles.
Oh my God.
To have a pint with two guys.
Two guys. Yeah. What are we gonna do? I feel like we have to.
We'll
like,
regale him with tales of the podcast.
I feel like I need to like. Like, he can stay over my house. Like, what can we do?
There's a guy from Ecuador coming as well.
What? Oh, are you serious?
Yeah, he's in town, so he's going to be there.
So he's in town, though?
Yeah, I think he's in town.
Oh, okay, oh my God.
There's two guys from Australia who've contacted me independently to say they're sorry they can't make it. That's okay, guys.
It's going to be so fun. I can't wait for every aspect of this. And then the game happens. Like
honestly, there could be Gore Vidal, Ronald Reagan, and Marilyn Monroe could walk in, and I would not care because I'll be watching the game. Actually, me and Gore would have an intellectual, you know, matching, so we'd probably talk.
I can't get on that level. Let's do this, man.
All right.
Let's just get right into it now. Like I said, five big questions for this Champions League that we want to start with. And I think really the one that's on the forefront of the minds of Tottenham fans, Liverpool fans, it's about the two injured players coming in. What would you do with Harry Kane and Roberto Firmino?
Let me deal with Firmino because I think it's fairly straightforward. Or the picture is a little bit clearer. Firmino is absolutely replaceable for Liverpool. Links that whole front three together, not to mention the work he does offensively and in terms of pressurising the opposition. If he is fit, and we believe according to Jurgen Klopp that he is, he starts.
Yeah, here's what Jurgen had to say about Firmino's status.
Bobby, trained, was part of training last week, looked really good, everything fine. And then we took him out for again and we'll be in training, I think, from tomorrow on again. So, all what we saw so far looked really good. And he will be fine, I'm pretty sure.
Seems like it's open and shut case.
Yeah, I think he will play. I don't think there's the same jeopardy over him that there appears to be with Harry Kane.
Yeah, let's talk about that. I want to start with this. Remember the narrative that I immediately shot down as lunacy, that Tottenham were better off without Harry Kane.
Mm.
Just like the height of stupidity, of prisoner of the moment syndrome. This season, in all competitions, Tottenham were 24, 12 losses, 3 draws with Kane. Without him, 9 wins, 7 losses, 2 draws. They average over a goal per game with him in the lineup and just 0.7 goals per game without him. They are still a very good team when he's not there, but they are not the same. That is clear as day.
So, I mean, that doesn't really do anything for me. That's very dry, Andrew.
Well, I'm laying out there the foundation of just how important he is.
Right, give me your gut.
So here's the thing. There's been this talk that I've heard on Tottenham Twitter that is really simplifying it. Oh, well, if he's healthy, he plays. And according to Kane, he is saying that he's healthy. Here's straight from Harry Kane's mouth about his status.
Yeah, I feel good. I feel ready. I started training with the team last week. And yeah, so far no problems, which is great. So, yeah, I guess that's down to the manager. He'll kind of assess me over this next week and see if I'm ready to start or play. But from my point of view, I feel good. So I just got to make sure I'm ready for anything.
Started training with the team last week. All right, here's what Pochettino said. He said, I can't say he's 100%, whether he will be available or on the bench or out, but we're so happy and positive about his progression. This is not as simple as if he's healthy, he plays. It's just not. I know he's that great, and he's that important to the team, and he's a top three striker in the world. You know, that's all clear and obvious to me. But there are other factors at play here. Here's what I do if I'm Tottenham. I don't start him. And it kills me to say that, but I don't.
For a couple of reasons.
For one, they can't afford a Diego Costa situation from the Atletico Madrid Real Madrid when he came off in the 9th minute. They just simply, like, when you're the underdog going into a game like this, the chips have to fall properly for you, and they can't afford that. Now, I've seen him at training. There's been videos. He's cutting on that ankle. He's stopping on a dime. He looks great, but if the ankle's weak, you just don't know. So I wouldn't start him, but he'd make an appearance for me, certainly. Probably, look, it all depends on how the game is going, on what the score is. But the thing that's important about him is, it's hard to plan around this specifically, but penalties could matter in a cup final.
Mm.
He's very good at them. So if he starts the game, then he's not playing 90 minutes. He's certainly not going to play 120 because he's just not at that level of fitness. He'd probably come off, I don't know, depending on how it's going, 70 minutes, 80 minutes, something like that. If this game is close and penalties are looming, I want him out there. So I'd rather bring him on in the 65th, and let him go the rest of the way and at least allow him to be an option should it get to that point. But I think I would just rather him be out on the pitch for the end of the game rather than the beginning. And that's me just going off the assumption that he's not giving you 90, no matter what.
And you have an extended bench in this Champions League final. You have 12 substitutes instead of, I think, 7. So you can name 12. You can name him in your party and decide what you want to do then. You also have the option, and look, it's a European Cup final, so there's every chance that it goes to extra time. You can make that fourth substitution in extra time. So you can really assess as you go along if you want to use him. I'm not starting him because I think Spurs can function up front without him. I think without him, the attack is, like, he's a fantastic player, but the attack does take on a different dimension. I'm not saying a better dimension, but I think that, with Lucas Moura, with Dele Alli, with Heung-Min Son, there are a kind of a different option for Spurs that can cause problems for Liverpool as well. You get different things from those three. You'd love to have him fit, but it just seems too tight. It's too tight.
He hasn't played since April 9th. I mean, a fitness concern is a real thing. I don't know. I just can't be on board with the Tottenham contingent that say if he's healthy, he plays. It's just in a cup final. Like, yeah, okay, if this is Bournemouth late in the season, I'm okay with experimenting. But the stakes are a little too high to just be so black and white about it. Here was Steve Nicol on ESPN FC on the Kane dilemma.
Up until now, I've been saying, if Harry Kane's not injured, you just play him.
From the start.
Playing from the start. And if he blows a gasket after 30 minutes, 40 minutes, whatever it is, you take him off. But listening to him there, that doesn't, if he's only just joined, the rest of the players on the field. He's going to be so far away. So now, my thinking is, well, you know what? Maybe you just keep this guy for desperation for the last 15, 20 minutes if you need it.
That's what I was about to say. If you're 2-1, 2-0 down, he's a better option coming off the bench. That for me would be the way to go.
Yeah, that, I think
and
we're
also
on the
you've
same.
got to think about starting Kane, how that changes the rest of your team. You know, how that impacts it back the field.
Let's while we're kind of on that subject, let's talk about what our 11s would look like, because there's another player. While we're talking about injury concerns, I'll go first with Tottenham. There's another player that isn't getting quite as much publicity, understandably so. Kane is who he is. But a player who could be of relative equal importance for Tottenham in a game like this, and that's Harry Winks, who also has not played for Spurs since April 9th, and who also seems to be at a level where you think he might be able to give it a go in this
game. I think he's further along now than Kane in his rehab. So
the reason he's so important to me is because, like, he is the guy for Tottenham who I look at and say, okay, he can kind of be a stabilizing force in the midfield. He can be a possession guy. He can win the ball back and kind of, you know, act as like a defensive holding midfielder. Because if he's playing, for me with Tottenham, I have two kind of midfielders in more of a central defensive role because I'm so afraid of Liverpool's attack. I feel like you need two guys there to maybe protect your back line. I'll give it a go with Winks. I'll start out with him. And I have Moussa Sissoko next to him, and I feel like that's why you need Winks, because Sissoko is not really that guy. He's not a defensive midfielder. He's a guy who's going to attack. Name
your team, because I'm interested to hear this.
Well, keeper, obviously, Hugo Lloris. I went with four in the back. I kind of danced around a little bit with three.
We'll get to why you have to play that later.
Well, because when Tottenham and Liverpool played in March, it was a massacre. Against the back three. They have to go with four. And so if you're going with four, it's an obvious choice. It's everyone's healthy because it looks like Vertonghen is 100%. So Rose, Alderweireld, Vertonghen, and Trippier. In the midfield, I went with Sissoko and Winks from kind of that base. And then in front of them, I go with Eriksen on the right, Dele in the number 10 role, and Son out on the left with Lucas Moura up front in attack. The Dele-Lucas Moura connection, I mean, if you watched the second half against Ajax, you saw just, like, they are clicking. So I'm comfortable with that. And then at the first sign of trouble in the second half, around the 55th, 60th, 65th, Kane. And by the way, like, just thinking about the boost, if it's 1-1 or something like that, like, the lift that it could give Tottenham just to see him, like, take off the warm-ups and like, the buzz that will go through the crowd for that moment, it could be big.
I would also note that you pick your starting 11, but be aware that Poch and Klopp, but Pochettino in particular, has been able to make in-game changes and turn games. So, you know, he has that ability to make a substitution, make a change, make a formational change. Here's my starting 11.
Uh-huh.
Alisson in goal, obviously. Alexander-Arnold, Matip, Van Dijk and Robertson. Fabinho, Henderson to his right, Wijnaldum to the left, Salah, Firmino, Mane.
Yeah, I think with you guys, it's a lot more clear cut. Like, this has kind of been, at least as of late, you know, Fabinho maybe being the one that's a little bit different, but like, this is kind of what you've won with recently.
With everybody fit, this is how I think the team will line out. We don't have the missing players that we did for the second leg of Barcelona that required that rejig, or the first leg against Barcelona where you saw Wijnaldum occupied that space for Firmino would usually be. Mm-hmm. So this is the team I go for. And in terms of that midfield, it's very clear. It's what I talked about before. It's not heavy metal football. It's trash metal, death metal. And you get that intensity in that midfield. And we'll get to it, but that's where I'd worry for Spurs.
You ready for the second question here, JJ?
Yeah.
All right. Who has been each club's unsung hero en route to the final? I'll let you go first.
All right. There's so many unsung heroes who became sung heroes versus Barcelona in the semi-final second leg because of the key players Liverpool were missing. So Origi comes in, does what he does, scores the goal, two goals. Shaqiri sets up a goal for Wijnaldum. Wijnaldum himself played in an unfamiliar role in the first leg, then was dropped, came on for Robertson. Ditto Henderson, who didn't start in Barcelona, put in a monstrous effort in the second leg. Joel Matip for his role stifling the Barca attack. There's a flag gone to Madrid of with a picture of Joel Matip on it, and it says keys, wallet, phone, Messi. Things that are in your pocket to check for. But I'm going with somebody for who made such an impact way back in the group stages. It's 1-0. Liverpool have to beat Napoli at Anfield in the final group game. They've only taken 5 points from 6 matches. The ball goes into the box. It falls to Arjus Milik. And the Brazilian does this.
Oh, he's found his way through and Milik's there. What a save that is by Alisson. Blocked by Lovren.
Well, under the circumstances, that is as good a save as you'll see. That's why you pay the big money for a top goalkeeper. To pull out stops like this, just when it matters.
Now, there was
an unbelievable save.
It's an unbelievable save, but there was a crucial save then against Bayern Munich at home in that 0-0 where it just comes flying off him, deflects off Joel Matip, comes flying at him, and he's in the right place at the right time. And don't forget the saves he made from Jordi Alba and Messi in the incredible comeback game, because one goal kills you. It's done. It's over. So, although it's never over at Anfield, but you know what I mean. So Alisson, quietly, for a really expensive goalkeeper, has been very good.
You and I are kind of on the same wavelength here.
Oh, yeah?
Because my unsung hero is Hugo Lloris.
Interesting.
Tottenham's goalkeeper. This mainly because this was the season where the narrative on him turned for the worse. And the great irony of it is that that turning point and that tipping point happened against Liverpool in the 2-1 with the Alderweireld own goal in the 90th minute. But in the Champions League, he's been spectacular. And Tottenham are simply not in this game if it's not for him. Let's go back. Manchester City, first leg. The penalty called against Danny Rose on the controversial handball. Here's Hugo Lloris.
It's Aguero on the spot. Saved by Lloris. Cleared by Vertonghen. The drama ramps up just that little bit more.
Preventing City from getting that away goal was everything. I mean, like, you can't even express how precious that was now, seeing where Tottenham have gotten to.
What about a save from Donny van der Beek?
Second leg against Ajax. 100%. And by the way, go back. See, you look at it now. You know, I went back and I was kind of rewatching all the highlights from Tottenham's road to this point. And you know, you see the final score with Dortmund over the two legs is 4-0. Go back and watch the highlights. Hugo Lloris was in the first half of the first leg. He was immense. He was incredible. He was one of their men of the match. And then Tottenham scored 3 goals in the second half to make it look like it was this blowout and give them the cushion that they had for the second leg, where they added one more. But without him, you just don't know.
And yet, irony of ironies, his weakest performance of the last month or 2 months of Premier League football came in that March game. That game at the end of March against when in March was that? Earlier.
Against Liverpool?
Yeah.
March 31st, the last day of March.
Right, yeah.
Well, the thing for him is I would expect him, of all people, to be able to cope with the pressure at this moment. Because remember, he was in net for France for the World Cup final. He was in net for France in the extra time defeat against Portugal in the European Championship final. So hopefully he's someone who's kind of immune to the pressure of the moment. Let's see. Next one, JJ. What or who will be your X factor?
Jordan Henderson. Hmm. Yep, here I am naming the most successful signing of the Daniel Comolli era, not Charlie Adam or Stuart Downing, or indeed Andy Carroll. A player I have roundly criticised on this podcast, and here I am naming him as my X factor. 12 months ago, I was in a bar in Kiev in the early hours of the morning, drowning my sorrows, and already a video had surfaced of basically clips of Jordan Henderson's passing cut up with the heading, "This is why he's not good enough if Liverpool are to go to the next level."
It's like one of those Giassi Zardes first touch videos.
Yeah, exactly. Fast forward to Anfield against Chelsea, April 14th, and Henderson is still in midfield, albeit in an advanced position and to the right of his old berth, and creating for Sadio Mane's opener. If Henderson can bring the same aggression and drive to that position in this final that he did against Barcelona, turn the ball over, create, harass, press, hurt, intimidate Spurs, that could set the tone for a long, long night for the Londoners. There's a video in all my content watching today, which was just such a joy. There's a video that a fan has taken on full time where Henderson is on the ground on the sideline, spent. There's nothing left. And Joe Gomez comes over and lifts him up. And he does his interviews, does whatever, and he's just pumping his fists. Mm-hmm. And he's found this little niche, Andrew. It's an inside right position. He's not a winger, but he can make runs in between. He can find himself between the lines. He can also just bully the fullbacks, bully the centre backs of Spurs, bully the centre midfielders, do what he did. If he can unleash the dogs of war like he did against Barcelona, he could be absolutely crucial. And he's been released from that holding position where he's had to set tempo and do all the things that we really didn't think he could do. Like Ken Early said earlier in the year, and I quoted it because I thought it was great, when he receives the ball on the half pivot, looking to pass it and set tempo, he looks like a man who's utterly paranoid about what's about to happen. He was just stifled there. And even Klopp said it. Klopp said, "I'm sorry I played him there for nearly 2 years." This is something that was stumbled upon a little bit, and something that has kind of, I think, become a strength for Liverpool now. He's been released somewhat. And I think he could be the X factor. I can't believe I'm saying it.
But it makes total sense.
It does make sense.
Let's see. Mine is simple here. I don't really have a ton on it. For me, it's Tottenham central defense. There's no way around it. Like, I don't care how well of a shell whoever's playing in Tottenham's midfield, you know, they're going to do the best they can to limit Liverpool's opportunities on the counter to try to win back possession. Both teams may press high. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But ultimately, Liverpool's front three, their attack is terrifying, and they're going to get opportunities, and they're going to break through, and it's just, it's inevitability. And you just, if you're a Spurs fan, you just hope that these two guys who've been playing side by side for both club and country for years now, they have to hold up. They have to positionally be right. You know, Robertson and Trent Alexander-Arnold are going to be firing balls into the box. They're two of the best crossers in England and in all of Europe. You know, Vertonghen, Alderweireld, it's got to be like that Aguchi on Yewu versus Spain Confederations Cup performance.
What? Just a
one header out of the box, repel header, header, out of the box,
what
one
a
after
link.
Another, after another. That's what it's got to be. I mean, that's what I remembered watching that day. It was just like he was, Spain couldn't get anything through. Everything was headed away. That's got to be these two guys. Set pieces, Liverpool are so dangerous on set pieces. They've got to be right. Can't have any unforced errors, silly back passes. Tottenham play out of the back. Have to be careful with it. To me, it's like, I feel good about them. I don't mean to imply that I'm nervous. I love the two of them back there. They're two of my favorite players on this team. But Liverpool are incredibly frightening in attack. And these two guys are going to be on their heels for the full 90 or however long this game goes.
Of all the great defenders in the world you had to pick from, all the great performances, you went to Aguchi on
Nebu. One of my all-time favorite players.
Good Lord.
Love him. All right, JJ, which manager, fourth question here, do you think needs this more?
I didn't like this question. I don't like the narrative that this brings us into. This brings us into the weaponized area of football Twitter, where Pep Guardiola is a bald fraud. Klopp hasn't won X amount of finals and it's utter failure. And Poch is a bottler. I just don't enjoy this kind of thing. Like I said, I think Pochettino has done brilliantly to get this team to a Champions League final for a number of reasons that I'm sure I've tired the listeners out with me reaming it off. Klopp as well. You can say, look, Klopp has certainly had the money in the last few seasons to meet the needs of this team and to get the things done that he's wanted, but he's also coached. He's made players better. We've seen that. And so, yeah, you can look it back and talk about the Champions League final that he lost against Bayern Munich. You can talk about playing against Sevilla, losing that final where he admitted he got things wrong. You can talk about the League Cup final last season when we lost to Manchester City. All those things. They're all there, sure. And you can say, Liverpool have spent X. They need to be doing this. It's Liverpool Football Club. The pressure's on them. They're favourites. That's fine. But the idea that one of these managers needs this, or else some part of what they've built is not real, isn't worthy, I'm just not buying it.
Fair enough. I mean, the answer to the question is Klopp. Whether you like the question or not, that is the answer
okay.
to it. This is from Ryan Bailey at Yahoo Sports. He writes this. He says, on paper, there is no way that Liverpool should lose the 2019 Champions League final. They have a better European pedigree than Tottenham, a superior squad, a better head-to-head record, and this team has a huge point to prove after losing all three finals they have entered under Klopp. Mm. If a team earns 97 points in the Premier League and reaches a Champions League final, but somehow fails to win any silverware, questions must surely be asked of their coach. Now, that last part there is a bit strong.
Questions must surely be asked.
Well, here's the thing. Nobody's job is in jeopardy here. And, you know, with the exception of, like, a couple, like, Liverpool aren't trading Jurgen Klopp for probably any other manager on earth. He has built something there. He is beloved there. And it almost feels like he's got a job for life. But, you know, the one missing piece for a while now with him, he won the German Cup in 2012, and he's lost six straight finals since then.
Okay.
So, you know, there's a little, like, is it too strong to say he's got this monkey on his back that could start to become gorilla?
We create the monkey, though. We, the media, make the monkey. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, of course he wants to win. There's no manager out there that doesn't want to win. But he has talked up and emphasized the journey, what this team is creating. He did say at the start, in his very first press conference, if by the end of X amount of years we haven't won the league or won the European Cup, I'd be very disappointed, probably be surprised. Those things are all true. But it's more of a want. It's more of a, certainly amongst Liverpool fans, it's expectation.
Yeah.
Were Liverpool in a European Cup final?
Well, that's the thing. Ultimately, look, like I said, you're right. The question is a little bit unfair because when you're talking about Pochettino and Klopp, you're talking about two of the best managers in the world that most other clubs on this planet would kill to have. It's really just Klopp by default. Because with Pochettino, you can't really say that it's him because, okay, the narrative on Pochettino for the past few years is great manager. He's gotten Tottenham to a level that they didn't think they could consistently be at, but can't win the big game. Well, look, everybody's idea of what is the big game, I guess that's subjective. But ultimately, he beat Manchester City in a quarterfinal of the Champions League, and he beat Ajax in a semifinal, and he's gotten Tottenham, who didn't make any signings in the summer, to a Champions League final. So I think, regardless of what happens in this game, he's kind of destroyed the narrative that Tottenham can't win the big game under Pochettino.
My expectation is that Liverpool will win this Champions League final. I will not be walking away thinking it reflects anything on Maurizio Pochettino.
Agreed. Completely agree. By the way, you are not alone in that expectation. The SPI I saw today is 72-28 in Liverpool's favor. That's big. That's a big number.
Hmm. It is a big number.
One that I know you take very seriously.
You know, what was the SPI that was absolutely torn apart that we were like, we're never trusting this again? Probably the Liverpool-Barcelona SPI.
Right, yeah. What was Liverpool's chances when that started? 7%?
Something like that.
Yeah. All right, JJ, one more question here. Fifth and final one. In what area of the field will this game be won?
Of course, I've gone for two because I cannot stick to the rules.
That's fair.
We saw midfield is where I'm going to begin. We saw in the Barcelona game the ability of Liverpool to overpower and suffocate a team with their press and tackling. Henderson, Fabinho, Wijnaldum, we expect. Can Tottenham survive that early onslaught? The times that Liverpool have blown Spurs away. And by the way, they are increasingly less over the last few games. There's only been a goal or so in it. But the times it has happened is when Liverpool have got off to a fast start. Who will be in that Tottenham midfield? Sissoko plus. Mm-hmm. Winks. What level of fitness is he at? Sharpness. All those things come into it. And that's where I think Liverpool hold an advantage. Key to the meeting at the end of March was out wide, with auxiliary wingers, which are basically fullbacks now. As Liverpool destroyed Spurs in the first half, to Robertson, Trent Alexander-Arnold. Spurs played with a back three, and the key to them turning that around in-game was basically Maurizio Pochettino's cell phone plan.
That's right, you're right.
Called it in, and they went to a four, and Danny Rose pushed up the field, which gave Trent Alexander-Arnold something else going the other way. I think Poch has to play four at the back, try to restrict Alexander-Arnold, Robertson, limit the space down the flanks. Now, what that may end up looking like is that one or two of your attackers at any given moment is going to have to slot in, slot wide, and try and create maybe a five in midfield for Spurs, or basically suffocate those angles for Liverpool. They have to try and stop the Liverpool, play through the Liverpool press where it's possible. Not sure how they do that. Sissoko, this is the biggest game he's ever played in, bar the European Championship final.
Yeah, I kind of agree with what you have here. My mind goes straight to one position, but a position that occupies two areas of the field. I am looking at these Liverpool fullbacks. For all the great players that you do have, Mane, Salah, Firmino, Van Dijk, I don't think there's any two individuals that scare me more than Robertson and Alexander-Arnold. In the EPL and the Champions League this season, those two competitions combined, Trent had 15 assists, Robertson had 13 assists. Let's look at the two meetings specifically between Tottenham and Liverpool this year. September 15th, Liverpool won that one 2-1.
Should have been 6-1. No, it's important.
Well, or 6-2. Son should have been awarded a penalty in extra time that tied the game, but nevertheless. Let's see, 54th minute. Firmino goal puts Liverpool up 2-0. How did that goal come about? Andy Robertson lofted in a beautiful ball behind the defense to Mane, who then played it right into Firmino's path. Very well done. March 31st, Liverpool.
Very well done.
Liverpool 2-1 again. 16th minute, Andy Robertson bombing forward, takes the pass, plays in an incredible ball to Firmino for the goal. 90th minute, the own goal. We all remember it, but how did it happen? Because we all remember Salah heading it back across goal and Lloris smacking it off Alderweireld, who knocked it in. But how did that ball get to Salah? Alexander-Arnold played in a beauty to set the whole thing up.
Yep.
Liverpool killed everyone with their fullbacks, but perhaps no one more so than Spurs.
Ball progression from Trent Alexander-Arnold is key. Getting the ball into the areas that it needs to be in. Now, how do Spurs do this?
Do you sacrifice?
You go four at the back, and do you kind of rein in your fullbacks?
Well, here's how. Look, this isn't my idea. I'm not evolved enough mentally with the American brain to know how to stop these two. So I will lean on a former Liverpool player to offer his advice. I'm reading now from the BBC a piece that Stephen Warnock wrote, former Liverpool defender. He says the way for Spurs to hamper Robertson and Alexander-Arnold and hurt Liverpool is to leave fast players up the pitch high and wide, like Son Heung-min or Lucas Moura.
Yes.
That means if the Reds' fullbacks do push on, it's more of a gamble because they know it is left to their center backs, Virgil van Dijk and Joel Matip, to deal with those players.
Let's not forget also Spurs' potency on the break, which was evidenced in the March meeting, at the end of March. Look at the chances that they created on breakaways.
Sissoko in the 81st, one-on-one with the keeper.
I mean, that was just a brilliant piece of shepherding
Van Dijk. Van Dijk chose the right option.
Yeah, he shepherded him. Because if that goes to Son, Andrew, it's good night delights. It's 2-1. It's so weird for me to sit here and try and get into the mind of Maurizio Pochettino. I'm wondering if, to begin with, he is ever so slightly negative. If he's ever so slightly ease into the game, make sure we're tight, four at the back, five in midfield kind of job.
Boy, Tottenham have conceded a lot of early goals.
It's
something to worry about.
Yes, it can't happen this time because there's no second leg, and Liverpool have that ability to blow teams out of the water.
Just a final exclamation point on these two fullbacks for Liverpool and just how special they are. In league matches this season, in the Premier League, no one created more chances for Liverpool than Mohamed Salah. After him, though, the second most chances were created by Robertson, the third most by Alexander-Arnold. Those guys created more chances than Firmino or Sadio Mane. Incredible.
It's amazing how good they are, and it's amazing how many different players have stepped forward, because if this was last season, you're almost entirely talking about that front three. We have barely mentioned Sadio Mane, barely mentioned Mohamed Salah, because it actually doesn't bear mentioning. We know what they can do. Henderson, the two fullbacks, even look at the centre half and his ability to play passes out of the back.
Yep. Oh my God. All right. Let's digest all that.
Okay.
Let's take a breather. We'll take a very quick break. All right. Thinking good thoughts. Enjoying it. Loving it. Digging it. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we have our dream scenarios for how this could play out for each of us. We've got a big Champions League mailbag. We've got our predictions. We've got a 5 stars for 5 years review. And I have a soundbite that I want to play from you. I know we did red cards on yesterday's podcast.
Red card.
But like, can I have like my dolt of the week?
Who is it?
You're not gonna like it, but
it's me.
No. But I mean, it's Liverpool related.
Okay.
Somebody said something and it just like anger. It just like for some reason struck a nerve with me. It's annoying and smug. So I've got that for you as well. Don't go anywhere. Oh, back now on Caught Offside. JJ, it's funny. So we just did all that analysis, which I must say was very well done and very insightful, very intelligent. But largely nonsense.
Well, it matters not a whit, because say for example the center half falls over while clutching your center forward's arm and his shoulder's damaged and he has to leave the field.
Mm-hmm.
What if your goalkeeper, who hit 37 out of so many concussion points in a concussion test later on, throws the ball into the net twice?
I believe it was the great Mike Tyson that once said, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth.
It's true. Anything can happen, you know?
And, absolutely.
And what's especially dangerous for what I did there was, I talked about a Spurs team I think will be picked. Nobody has a Scooby-Doo yet what
right.
Pochettino's going to pick.
Yeah. So. But that's the fun of this. That's why we're here about it.
Sure.
That's what makes all this fun.
Plus,
like
we need to vent this excitement somewhere. By the way, do you know who else is excited?
Who?
We've got a listener who's flying from Braselton, Georgia.
God.
First time in NYC to watch the game with you guys. Love the pod. Keep it up. Lord. And then we had another much more snarky man who got in touch with me and said that I made him, or I told him he had to buy me beers when he, that's not the case.
Well, look, like, it is worth saying this, it's going to be so fun hanging out with everybody, but that's really what this is. Like, I know sometimes ESPN does like live shows and things like that. Like,
they're not doing that for
us. No, this is just like a hangout. Like, we're just going to watch the game and like have fun and just like.
Listen, I called ESPN. I said, can we organize a watch party? They said, excuse me, sir, who are you?
How did you get this number?
Yeah.
All right, so we're talking about how everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. So you and I, you had this idea yesterday when we were leaving here, you were like, we should really just lay out like in a dream of how things could go for each of us, of what that scenario would encompass.
The dream scenario.
Yeah, do you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. I need
JJ Dreamland. All right.
It's 1-1 at halftime. Liverpool's early onslaught brought a goal through Sadio Mane. Spurs equalised on halftime through Lucas Moura after taking advantage of a breakaway. Liverpool emerge all fire and brimstone and take the lead through a Virgil van Dijk header on the hour. Spurs make changes. Kane is sprung from the bench like a gazelle and Liverpool defend their 18 for the middle section of the second half. Then, in the 82nd minute, dispossessing a labouring and tired Christian Eriksen, Jordan Shaqiri races clear and has open field ahead of him. Roberto Firmino escapes Alderweireld and races onto an outside of the foot pass from Shaqiri. The Brazilian deftly lifts it over the advancing Lloris. Finn. That's how I see it.
End of dream sequence. Let's see. I went a little bit of a different route here as we now go into my dream scenario. Here we go, JJ. You ready for my in dreamland?
We win 5-0.
Second minute, Kane goal. 8th minute, Kane goal. 15th minute, Van Dijk own goal. 33rd minute, Sun goal. 44th minute, Sissoko goal. 51st minute, Sissoko goal. 60th minute, Kane hat-trick. 71st minute, Salah own goal. 80th minute, Lucas Moura goal. 88th minute, Joel Matip does get one back on a corner. Well taken. In the end, JJ, you know what we're left with? We're left with 9-1.
Treat. Another glorious goal for open play. Have you ever seen anything like it?
You didn't even engage with a little bit of drama.
I've had enough. The Manchester City, it's now twice in this tournament, really three times, if you want to go back to the group stage when Tottenham had 1 point from three games and needed a result at Barcelona and needed to match Inter Milan's result against PSV at home in Milan. Three times in this tournament, Tottenham pretty much thought that their Champions League campaign was over. So I'm good with drama. Like, I've had enough drama in this tournament, honestly, to last me several more Champions League campaigns. I'm ready for just an absolute massacre.
You take, never mind massacre, somehow, and I don't think it'll happen, but you take it just a boring 2-0. Goals, either side of the half.
Well, 2-0. There's really nothing. It can no longer, we're at a point now where it can no longer really be boring. Like, no matter what it is that happens, it will be
exciting.
The stuff
yeah,
of
you're
legend.
Right. You're right.
So,
but at least I engaged with the idea of the dream world.
I want no part of it. Look, I gifted you the Matip goal on a corner, okay? Just take that and be happy. Wow. We've got such a great Champions League mailbag here. I'm excited about it.
First question, Ian Levine. Who will have the bigger impact on their team in leading up to the game and during the game, Klopp or Poch?
Well, it's a little bit hard to answer that because, I mean, both managers are good at adjusting. We've seen it with Poch. We've seen it with Klopp. I don't know. I'll cop out. I can't really speak for, like, the lead-up. All I know is I was reading something about Hugo Lloris and his, like, true love for Pochettino, where it says in the article that he even has his, I guess the French players were given replica World Cup trophies to kind of be theirs, and he has his in Pochettino's office for Tottenham. Like, there's a true love there. So, you know, I know that these players will do anything for him. I think they've proven that. So, I mean, that means everything going into a game like this.
You know what else is in Pochettino's office? A bowl of lemons, which he changes or rotates regularly. The lemons, he believes, ward off negative energy. They absorb, like a sponge, negative energy. And then when they go off, he throws them out and replenishes them. And he says sometimes when the chairman comes in, Daniel Levy, a lot of negative energy comes in too. He was joking when he said it, and it goes into the lemons. He did this weird interview with TalkSport, and the best part of the interview, the most insightful part, was lemons. I'm going to say Klopp, because Klopp is such a supreme motivator. To go back-to-back Champions Leagues, particularly after the heartbreak of last season, to have the team loose enough to be able to create what they did, that masterpiece in the second leg against Barcelona. I think they're obviously both highly influential managers, but I'd shade it for Klopp. It's a very tough question, though. They've had 3 weeks, and both of them have said the ideal. Obviously, Spurs needed the 3 weeks for injuries, and
Liverpool too.
Liverpool to an extent. I think the ideal amount is you play a week after your last game of the regular season. This has been a long wait.
Yeah.
So there's that aspect too.
By the way, real quick, the clip that I played there from the 9-1.
Yeah.
That audio was when Tottenham beat Wigan 9-1. Do you remember who scored the ninth goal? Probably not. I could just tell you.
No.
Nico Kranjčar. I mean, it's a Redknapp team. What do you expect?
Well, you know, Crouchy. Well, you know, Herman Arideson, Nico Kranjčar. Well, you know.
Čorluka.
Jordan Čorluka, you know.
Yeah.
At the Lewis Correa, what's your guys' prediction on how agonizingly long the pregame ceremony is going to be?
Oh, my God. I mean, this is... That is the one fun part of... Like, not the one. There's going to be a lot of fun parts of going out to watch the game together. But, like...
We can ignore that and talk
right,
to people.
Exactly. When you're at home, at home sometimes you're able to really, like, better lock in on the game itself. But you got to sit through just, as he says, the agonizing buildup. When you're out, we're going to be talking to everybody about the game and just about the seasons and, like, everything. So it'll be a little different.
I pretty much skipped almost all of Dua Lipa. Last season, she played the opening ceremony, and I was outside with the Ukrainian riot police checking out their gear. They had some unbelievable gear, and the dogs were just incredible.
Yeah.
So I went in a little bit later. I did catch a bit of Dua Lipa, but it's going to be the Imagine Dragons.
I'm in the stadium. These guys are on again. We stopped touring ages ago. Now we work for UEFA shows. We're going to be at everything from the Super Bowl to the NBA, anything.
Their VH1 inside the music, behind the music, is going to be so lame.
How do you know? You don't know what they've been through. How dare you?
They had one hit and then they decided to cash it all in.
I'll say this about them. And look, they're hardly my favorite band, JJ, even the biggest hater of them would have to at least concede that they don't have one hit. They do crank out like top 40 hits.
Pretty much the same song with a few tweaks.
That may very well be true. Never a Deedles, as some might say. It's all going to be happening.
It's all just, it's the kind of music a FIFA executive would design for a World Cup anthem. Anyway. Emmanuel,
a one-hit wonder. That's just wrong.
Emmanuel Lugo, I'm a Liverpool supporter. I am so nervous. We'll take that as a comment. I agree too. There is a nervousness now that is beginning to take over.
Yeah.
Brendan,
wait, that was it?
Yeah, that was it. Oh. It was a comment. I said comments and questions.
Oh no, absolutely.
But Brendan Breasley, honestly, Brendan, when I read this, I was going to drive to your house and give you a good slapping. Focus on the now, man. But I'll read it. Andrew, I would love to know how you stand on a couple of things, because I've listened to the pod for a while now and I've been wondering, if Spurs win the Champions League, I'm a Spurs fan too, does Poch really leave and does Kane stay? It's the eve of the Champions League, man. I'm right to be...
Yeah, not today. I went to... What was the website I went to? Was it BBC or ESPN FC? I don't know. One of the soccer websites that I go to all the time had a story up about what will happen with Poch. And I was just like, not yet, guys.
Yeah. I mean, the desire for content is always going to churn out these stories. But
yeah.
At Hey Pew, as we haven't seen either manager utilize these before, how could the expanded bench and fourth sub in extra time affect their substitutions and tactics? Well, that largely depends on how the game goes, but it is something to consider.
It's huge.
Especially when, like I said, with the Kane injury, you can now dictate a little bit more. Again, depending if the game's heading towards extra time, maybe you want to save him for that.
Well, the thing is, what you could do with him if you really felt compelled, it could allow you, if you don't start him, to bring him on a little bit earlier, and then if he needed to like be subbed off in extra time, if he just couldn't go the full length of that, I don't know, that now becomes an option, whereas before it really wouldn't.
I don't know. It remains to be seen, but it is an interesting thing that's going to be cropping up for this UEFA Champions League final. Jesus Sinedas, I'm a Spurs fan, and it's my birthday on Saturday.
Mm.
Will I not worry about coming in late to work? I work retail at Dodger Stadium, so it's not an important job for me if I get in trouble. Bueller.
Did he send this knowing that it might be read out on the show?
Yeah.
Better hope that like nobody else from the Dodgers listens.
Oh, I'm sure the Dodgers organization now is just refreshing their feed. Look, your job's important. Can you not talk to your boss and say, look, it's my birthday, my team's in the Champions League final, can I come in a little bit late or not at all and take extra shifts next week or whenever the Dodgers play again or whenever you work?
I mean, it's probably a 10:10 start. The Champions League's at 3, so the game will be well over. He's going to want a party in between. So I say, well, I don't want to give advice. What, have somebody fill in for him?
Yeah.
I'm sure he's probably considered that. It's not an easy thing to do on short notice.
Smithy, I just wanted to take a moment ahead of the Champions League final to thank you two fine gentlemen. I was the recipient of a team via Help a Fan at the beginning of the EPL season. I followed the sport off and on and mainly had interest around the US men's and women's national teams and the World Cup. Since I was given a new team, I dived headfirst into their history and fandom. Perhaps it's just the magnificent season that the boys had, but I don't think I have ever seen myself fist pumping the air at 1 p.m. at work as I was witnessing one of the greatest all-time comebacks, and I was so emotionally invested. Never would I have thought that when I hear a song, I get goosebumps, nonetheless knowing the words and start echoing them back at my TV. So again, thank you for giving me a home. That's Smithy, who's a Liverpool fan. Let's go to the gram. Who will be the most smug if they win? So many people have asked this, so I just compiled it into one quick question. I'm naturally smug.
Yeah, I've always said that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I have some of that in me as well.
I will channel my inner Jamie Carragher with this.
But I think Liverpool are going to win the European Cup. Because it's so much better.
If you say those words to me, it will be hard for me to not smack your face.
Which words?
Like if you just get in my face and scream like in that voice, Liverpool have won the European Cup. Ha ha ha. Like,
it's only Spurs.
It will. That will just like.
Can we just hear it again?
But I think Liverpool are going to win the European Cup. Because it's so much better.
That is the genius Darren Farrelly, by the way.
For my smugness, I channeled. There's a South Park episode that is literally based around the smugness of like
people like me.
Well, people who specifically own hybrid vehicles. Now, I'm not necessarily commenting on whether or not what I think of that, but the episode just nails smugness as a thing. I think I want to go more this route. And what you can't see it, but what you'll hear is these people are so impressed with themselves that they love the smells of their own farts. And that's the route that I'm going to take.
Everyone here drives a hybrid, huh?
Oh, of course. We're a little more progressive and ahead of the curve here in San Francisco. Anyway, I'm sure you'll find it much better here.
Yes, you'll find that San Francisco is pretty much more open-minded and grown up than the Midwest. We're just a little bit more protective of our environment here in San Francisco.
Yeah, we sure are.
That's going to be you. So this will be you.
Oh yeah, I'm going to hotbox this
I think now we've discovered that Spurs are just one of, you know, the premier teams in European football. Oh yeah,
that'll be you. All right. That's gross, by the way. Jesus. We all do it, though. The only crispy fries. You must add a former Liverpool/Spurs great and replace a current player for the final. Who would you choose? This is the best question we've got.
What an awesome question. Mm. So you mentioned this to me before, so I could really think about it, and it was not easy. I'm going to remove Winks, not because I don't like him as a player, but because I think he's going to be really important in this game, and I just worry about his fitness. And I'm going to let's just throw Luka Modric in there instead.
Wow,
I like that sub.
Okay, I decided that I would, just after calling him my X Factor, but I would remove Jordan Henderson and think of this: Steven Gerrard playing in an advanced position there. Just go. You get to tackle, you get to shoot, you get to break into the box onto things, you get to create, you don't have to do anything. We've got Fabinho behind you. I think that would be great. The other option would be, for this final in particular, a snarling Graham Souness with the full 1980s bubble perm and tash, just smashing into Harry Winks. There you go, you southern softy.
Do you have more? Because you just mentioned a name.
What?
You just mentioned a name there, JJ.
Red card.
Oh, no.
Graham Souness, he made a comment that just...
That was by accident.
It just annoyed me. I know that you probably have more mail, but while you said his name, it just annoyed me so much. Listen to this from Graham Souness. I believe this was on the website balls.ie.
Oh, okay. Irish website.
Yeah.
Spurs shouldn't be there. You know, Spurs are a team... Fads, you say to anyone at the start of the season, this team's going to lose 19 games in all competitions, and yet they'll find themselves in the final of the Champions League, you'd say you're talking nonsense. But they've somehow got themselves there. I think they're fortunate to be there.
I would like to remind Graham Souness of something. This was brought to everyone's attention from Barty, one of the guys who's on the Fighting Cock podcast. Graham Souness mentions the 19 losses for Spurs this year across all competitions. Fair, fair. Let's go back now. 2005, Liverpool.
Oh, come on, obviously.
14 losses in the league, one loss in the League Cup, one FA Cup defeat, and three Champions League losses. Let's do the math, JJ, and add that up to, 19.
And this Spurs team is miles better than that Liverpool team in a lot of positions. I mean, they don't have maybe a Steven Gerrard, but like, look at some of the players Liverpool had as well. Jimmy Traore.
Smica.
Vladimir Smitser, who Liverpool fans can look back now with rose-tinted glasses. I've never heard a player cussed out more times in my life by Liverpool fans than Vladimir Smitser. Don't even get me started. We had to get Didi Hamann off the bench to rescue things. And we had... I agree. I totally agree.
Dalt.
Now, is that residual bitterness? Let's not forget that it was Graham Souness who started out at Spurs under Bill Nicholson. Because Bill Nicholson was coming towards the end, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and Bill Nicholson gave him the road. He revived his career then under Jack Charlton and at Middlesbrough and then went to Liverpool. So is he still bitter all these years later about Spurs?
They don't belong there. They belong there because they beat everybody in their path, all right? Yeah, they belong there.
You can't... The belong there in cup competitions is nonsense, by the way. Anyway. Is this the rise... Only Juan, 666. Is this the rise of the English teams in European competition again? I don't think they've ever fully... Since Alex Ferguson, 1999, I suppose, Yeah, maybe. Maybe it is. Maybe this is a new era now with the money that's come into the Premier League. But it's Liverpool going back to back. City were quarterfinalists. I don't know how to read that.
The money that is in the league right now, like, look what's happened. You know, the Italian league has kind of fallen down
imploded,
the pecking order.
Yeah.
When, like, there were a number of years, you know, 2003, Milan versus Juventus in the final. You know, AC Milan's stranglehold over this competition.
Since Abramovich came in, you can plot from 04 onwards, though, can't you, really, and say that there was a revival of teams, then there was a Spanish takeover, now it's maybe swinging back again.
It's all a little bit cyclical.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, this is the seventh time that two teams from the same country will meet in the Champions League final. Four of those times have occurred in the last seven seasons.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And that's been mainly through the Spanish dominance.
Well, Bayern,
we've had a German,
Bayern and Borussia Dortmund. But you're right, the two Real Atletico matchups and now this Tottenham-Liverpool.
It's funny. Liverpool and Spurs have spent wisely and, in Spurs' case, on restricted budgets. Whereas the money has been spent wildly and extravagantly by Manchester United. It hasn't proven to be anything.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, City's breakthrough in Europe has yet to come in terms of a trophy, but they're very much an established power in Europe. So,
yeah.
But there's only a few. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure how to read that yet.
While we're on that subject, I want to ask you a question. So if you go most European Cup / Champions League victories by country, do you know who has the most? 18 times a club from this country has hoisted the trophy.
Is it England?
No, it's Spain. England is now assured. England is currently tied with Italy for second with 12.
Okay.
However, England is assured of, obviously, a winner from this year's Champions League, so they will move into second with 13. Spain 18, England 13 come Saturday.
Liverpool with almost half of those.
Italy
it's worth noting.
With 12, Germany 7, the Netherlands with 6, and Portugal with 4. That's
yeah,
how it
I should have come up with Spain straight away when you consider how many Real Madrid have won.
Right.
Yeah, silly of me.
Yeah, is that it?
Nope.
Oh,
two more. Marcio Call 10 on the Instagrams. Will Liverpool fans be more happy winning the cup in Real Madrid's backyard? I don't think they're thinking about that. That's not their backyard. The Wanda is Atleti's home, and if the final was in the Bernabeu, there'd be some kind of link to the past. But honestly, I don't think it's got anything to do with it. I don't think it plays a role.
No,
not really.
Haven't even given that an ounce of thought.
And finally, Riandre, whoever loses should sing the winning team's song.
Nah.
You wouldn't sing You'll Never Walk Alone?
I don't feel like it.
I wouldn't make you do that either.
I don't feel like it.
It would be awkward. Do you know what I mean?
Somebody was saying to me, "Oh, you and JJ, you must have a great bet on this."
Oh, nah. People have been asking about the bets.
I think
people realize that we do a podcast together, and having to listen to the other one's joy is kind of the win.
Like, the stakes are high enough.
It's the
worst game. I don't need to like enhance it with some dumb bet that like
this
really,
this is for everything now. This, if Spurs win on Saturday, all my caught offside cup wins are wiped. They're wiped.
Kind of.
Yeah. There's league games.
Because you're right. You trade every single one of them for this one.
Of course.
So
they're wiped.
Yeah. JJ, we're going to give our predictions, but I think we should save that for the very end of the show. So you know what I'm going to do right now? I have our 5 stars for 5 years memory of the week. Now, I had mentioned to you the other day about doing this one, and you seem to have no interest in it, which I don't know why, because I think people really liked it.
They did like it. It's the rap battle, isn't it?
Yeah, I felt like this was the right time, even though it's a relatively recent memory, I think this was the right time to dust off the rap battle for this week's 5 stars for 5 years review. So here you go. We'll get back in the time machine and only go back to the end of March of this year for this one.
Here's your 5 stars for 5 years memory of the week on Caught Offside.
We head now from Caught Offside Towers. We're up on like the 80th floor, but now we head downstairs into the Caught Offside Towers basement where a crowd is gathering, JJ, for the battle that is set to ensue.
We're down in the bunker.
Yeah.
It's grimy.
Mm-hmm.
Condensation on the walls. An air of anticipation. Almost a crackle in the room. Because they know there's two guys who can spit lyrics like there's no tomorrow.
Yep.
About to enter their midst. Two of the whitest men ever seen at such an event.
Should we flip a coin to see who goes first here?
You go first.
No. We'll flip.
All right.
Tails.
Oh.
It's heads. You go first.
All right.
Here we go.
Away we go.
This is... Does this need any introduction, or are you just ready to go?
Ready to go.
Spitfire?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go.
While Spurs may have top four in the palm of their hands, they still might drop it. And Daniel Levy is never opening up his pockets. Your new NFL stadium, stop it. You want a brand new home, but buddy, that ain't it. There is nothing in that stadium but a lot of dreaming. What you gonna do now? Harry Kane has started to talk about leaving. Dele Alli, Eriksen, Vertonghen, and Pochettino. When they're gone, then what's the plan? Your new stadium is your only satisfaction, damn. Andrew Gunling always grumbling, he goes droning on, trying to convince y'all Spurs are relevant, he comes on too strong. You ever stop and wonder why the pod's too long? That's cause old Spursy Andy keeps singing the same old song. We making progress, playing better, our promise is plenty. Child, please, that's why your trophy cabinet's empty. Now everybody gather round, Bobby Moe and Manny going to town for the annual beatdown. Lads, it's Spurs, lads, it's Spurs, lads, it's Spurs.
Ow!
Vicious attack.
Oh, man.
All credit
to... You made it personal.
All credit to the late, great Mac Miller.
You made it personal.
So It Goes is the beat from his album Swimming.
All right. I see you. You ready?
I'm excited.
For the response.
For Lil Jeezy.
Here we go. Offside cut, yeah, I see the score. But look a little deeper, then you'll learn much more. I'm checking out the table for the last 9 years. Spurs on top 8 times, man, we're hardly even peers. You ahead this time, I'm supposed to be in pain. Man, keep your Mo Salah, I'll ride with Harry Kane. Yeah, I know our trophy case is bare, it's hilarious. Just about as funny as Lawrence Carrius. So when the Spurs go marching in, you know you start to shudder. I see your title challenge is starting to sputter. Meanwhile, we keep getting told that our drop-off is coming. Wembley, no signings, but Tottenham keeps on humming. Dele Alli, Eriksen, our attack is never done. And once you think you gotta stop, here comes the sun. Anfield last year, you took that Wanyama blast, lined it up and sent it out like it's a podcast. You think Klopp's impressive next to Poch? He's a hack. Maurizio turned Trippier into England's right back. You mock our new ground because it got a cheese room. We'll eat Gouda all day and still lower the boom. I'll give you this, your coffin's a nice looking stand. But ours has got you beat by over $5,000. The caught offside cup score got you feeling sly. Devaney, please, I could care less. I'm Tottenham till I die.
It's impressive. I've been on the rap circuit for years. Brought through a lot of great artists.
You don't mess with me.
No, I might try and sign you.
Who are you?
To Hard J Records.
The battle.
This has been your 5 stars for 5 years memory of the week.
I think people listening back to that and remembering like the comments, people were genuinely surprised, I think, that like we both had a competent showing in that rap battle.
I think people were surprised you brought the fire.
Yeah, I did. That was fun. That actually wound up being a lot more fun than I was expecting it to be. Who would have ever thought, like if I knew then that these two teams would be meeting in the Champions League final, we would have saved that.
We had no clue.
And we especially would have saved that.
Think of the pessimism after the first legs. We were done.
Yeah. So that was your 5 stars for 5 years memory of the week. Reminder to everybody, if you go on and leave a 5-star iTunes review of the podcast with a favorite memory of yours from the 5 years that we've been doing this podcast, we will do the best we can to track it down and use it one of these upcoming weeks in the podcast for a future 5 stars, 5-year memory of the week. So there you go. That was fun. The rap battle. All right. It's time. It's prediction time, bucko.
Do we need dramatic music?
Dramatic music.
Oh, for God's sake. They're everywhere.
What do you have? You want to go first?
Oh, let, Can we stop imagining the Dragons?
Oh, this is not dramatic for you? Okay.
All right.
That's the best that I can do. I'm sorry. They own sports.
They do. The soundtrack to your sports. Let me go first.
All right.
3-2 Liverpool after extra time.
Oh, God, no.
Wijnaldum, Firmino, Sadio Mane. I have not picked the Spurs scorers. I couldn't care less.
All right. JJ, I'm going 2-1. Spurs. Son in the 11th. Mane responds in the 28th. Kane comes in off the bench. Penalty. VAR. Spurs awarded a penalty in the 73rd.
Of course.
Kane converts. Spurs hold on for dear life. 2-1. North London rejoices.
Part of North London rejoices.
Woolwich is Arsenal. I don't count them as North London.
Finsbury Park is not rejoicing.
So you have 3-2.
3-2
for Liverpool.
To Liverpool.
And I have 2-1 for Tottenham.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, man. It's all starting to feel very real.
Oh, boy.
It's starting to feel very, very real. Like we said, the Harry Lemon, Avenue B, between 2nd and 3rd Streets in Manhattan. It's going to be a fun time. We're going to be hanging out. We hope you guys will join us. We're going to watch the game. And then somehow, some way, we will gather ourselves afterwards and do a podcast, I think. Is there any chance that you could see that going differently and us having to wait till Sunday morning?
Possibly, but people would be upset.
The plan is for it to be out Saturday evening.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This game is it's happening.
Yeah, it's happening, and the talk is cheap now.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see that green grass.
I know.
Can't wait to hear the Imagine Dragons.
But really, the song that you're excited for is this one, my friend. It's Never Meant More. It's Never Meant More. Oh, my God,
JJ. It could be the end of us. Our friendship.
No.
This podcast.
This was my nightmare. It's all happening. Hey, this was fun, man. The next time I will see you will be this Saturday at the Harry Lemon.
One of us will be the champions of Europe.
Oh, my God. Hey, to you I say...
Take you later, fun boy.
See ya.
Take care.
You've been listening to the Caught Offside Soccer Podcast.